WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The threats President Trump and estranged former advisor Elon Musk are hurling at each other could have some real-world consequences, especially after Trump referred to canceling Musk's government contracts. Correspondent Peter King.
Elon Musk has responded to the president's threat by saying he'd start decommissioning the Crew Dragon spaceships that take NASA astronauts to the space station and back. His cargo Dragons also help resupply the station, so any immediate cutoff would jeopardize the station program and leave NASA and its international partners in the lurch.
The government's monthly jobs report will be released in about 7 hours, but we have CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger now with a preview.
The unemployment rate is expected to remain at 4.2%, and average annual wages should rise by 3%. That is more than a full percentage point above the current inflation rate of 2.5%.
Mohammed Sabri Solomon, accused of the anti-Semitic attack during a peaceful protest in Boulder, Colorado, will be back in court Friday. CBS's Anna Schechter explains.
Friday's hearing is a big one because he's going in to hear the one federal charge that he faces at this time, which is a hate crime charge. And that could carry up to life in prison for that single charge.
The 118 state and federal counts combined include attempt to commit murder. The judge at Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York strongly admonished him Thursday for seemingly trying to engage with the jury.
It's certainly not that unusual for a high-profile defendant like Sean Diddy Combs to engage in behavior in the courtroom that gets people's attention and possibly even the jurors. Now, that's a problem because Combs is not under oath when he's at counsel table or making faces or interacting with others.
Former federal prosecutor and legal analyst Lori Levinson. It's Friday in France, June 6th, and that marks 81 years since D-Day when U.S. soldiers and allies landed there for the final chapters of World War II.
It's certainly
nearly 160,000 Allied troops landed on the Normandy beaches on June 6th, 1944. Of those, 73,000 were Americans. Many were killed in a hail of German bullets as they struggled up the beaches. But D-Day marks the beginning of the end of the Nazi occupation of Europe. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth attends today's commemoration ceremonies in Normandy. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
A federal judge temporarily blocked President Trump's proclamation banning foreign students from entering the U.S. to attend Harvard. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Aaron Rodgers to join the Steelers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Aaron Rodgers has decided to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. ESPN reporting Rodgers will report to Pittsburgh when the Steelers hold their mandatory veteran minicamp next week. Rodgers says he's been in contact with head coach Mike Tomlin, offensive coordinator Arthur Smith.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
In golf, the AmFam Championship underway at TPC Golf Course, just north of Madison, raising millions for charity.
That's the end game, right? I mean, that's why we're all doing this, to give back to not only the Children's Hospital here in town, but to all the other charities that we can impact and give money to. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to support those people and to give back.
That's Wisconsin golfer Steve Strickler with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for mostly cloudy skies here in the overnight with a few showers and thunderstorms developing. Morning lows in the upper 50s. Friday, showers likely, even some thunderstorms, mostly cloudy. Highs in the lower 70s and more rain Friday night. Currently 62 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to discuss what the heck went wrong with Wisconsin's biennial budget and the draconian cuts the MAGA regime is proposing right here at home.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on
You're
Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Rodgers, on the board. You like that?
Not particularly.
Oh, sorry. We had big breaking Aaron Rodgers news, hour number one. He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I do share a birthday with him, though, unfortunately.
I forgot that you do. Yeah. No, it's Aaron Zomers on the board on this Thursday, June 5th, 2025. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome to hour number two. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison on State Street. A little cloudy. Still that advisory for breathing, I guess. Air quality advisory, they call it. In effect for parts of Wisconsin today due to those wildfires up in Canada. Hopefully the wind, the rain will kind of push that out of most of the state by tomorrow. Looking like a pretty nice weekend all across the state as far weather-wise across the state of Wisconsin. Coming up a little bit later this hour, our daily What's Worse category. Today's category, fads. Or dumb traditions, fads or dumb traditions. We'll invite you to call in during this hour on that. Also, take a look at some more Wisconsin news headlines and take your phone calls as well. I was reminded, Zomers, by a loyal listener, Mr. Wheat. I did not give the text to win word in the last half hour because we had all this breaking news. So my apology. We'll do better tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
The show is going to get absolutely much better right now because speaking of wildfires and the environment, is there a connection between that and artificial intelligence, i.e. AI, here to in studio? And we are very pleased to have them here with us today, Emily Mills of the fantastic Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer, of course, is responsible for putting all that together. You can find Emily's work and others at www.therecombobulationarea.news. You have to use the www, so that's very, very important. Emily, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's good to be here.
It is an absolute pleasure. We always love it when people take the time to stop by here. Tell folks a little bit about yourself. You're an independent writer and journalist right now.
That is correct, and I have been for, oh gosh, many, many years. But I have a newsletter called Grist from the Mills, which is on the Ghost platform, a little different than Substack. Mm-hmm. That I've been writing for some time, and Dan was kind enough to give me a spot as a regular columnist on the Recombobulation Area. We've known each other professionally for quite some years, but I used to have an opinion column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I was their token leftist, among other things. I got some pretty fabulous feedback on that.
I'm the token centrist here.
Yeah, we've all got
former Republican
token roles to play. And I used to be the editor of Our Lives, which is the still sole remaining LGBTQ media outlet in Wisconsin. So,
fantastic.
But yeah, I've been here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We always love when journalists, because I'm a big fan of coming up in independent radio out in Southwest Wisconsin. I'm a huge fan of journalists who are not part of the corporate America. I've voiced frustration on this program before because I think there are intimidation factors going on in the current administration, but that's not why you're here. The point is, as an independent journalist, you can suss these things out, and with platforms like the Recombobulation Area and hopefully civic media helping out as well, we can get this information out.
Absolutely. I think having independent, robust, independent and nonprofit media in particular is a really essential part of a healthy democracy, frankly.
Yeah, no, I could not agree more. So the headline on this story, how AI is harming Wisconsin's path to renewable energy. Tell us, first of all, how you came to write this story. Is this a passion of yours, or what made you say, hey, there's something here to report?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I do really care about the environment because, as other smarter people have said, hey, that's where I live. So anything that impacts it is important to me. And the intersection with, you know, all these companies, utilities have these very important renewable energy goals, net zero goals, things like that, as we're facing down this very serious climate crisis. We're already seeing impacts of it. We're breathing in smoke from out of control wildfires right now. All of it is very connected. And they're walking back these goals now because there's this huge push to build these gigantic data centers. And the data centers are largely being driven by the enormous amount of energy consumption that is the result of this huge boom and push for, and I'm going to use scare quotes, AI, which is essentially a nebulous term for a bunch of marketing propaganda and not a single coherent technology.
People, regular listeners of the show, know that I'm petrified. I'm going to end my life by being attacked by an AI robotic dog. They scare the crap out of me. But more seriously, I guess for goofballs like me, or who might not be up to speed on technology, there is a really serious side to AI because it learns from itself and it gathers data, and all of that can either kind of be used for good or not so good, is my understanding.
Well, here's where it gets complicated. So again, learning from much smarter people than I am, I'm going to shout out a book that just came out called The AI Con by Alex Hanna and Emily M. Bender. Is a really great, very approachable, it's funny and it's smart and it's not overly academic. Look at all of the hype around AI and very clearly defines like what it is, what it is not. And so much of what we're hearing is not true about what it can do. And there's this really concerted push and propaganda marketing to make people think that it's smarter and more human-like than it is. I mean, anything that has, you know, quote unquote language, we are prone to thinking of, well, that's got to be some human quality to it, or it's going to take over. It's going to be Terminator 2, or it's going to be HAL 9000 or anything like that. Right. And what they point out, and I really appreciated it, is they call them doomers and boosters. So people who think, you know, AI is so, it's going to get so complex and so smart that it's going to destroy us, or people who think that, you know, that's not going to happen. It's going to save us. It's going to do all these things. And the doomers and the boosters are essentially the same side of two sides of the same coin, excuse me, where it's like they're both still claiming incorrect things about what AI can and can't do. It's a lot of it is just marketing flim flam. Like it is a spicy autocorrect. It is stochastic parrots is one of the things they call it. It's not actually performing a lot of what we want it to do. And it's really essential that we ask, like, what are the inputs? What are the outputs? What is the purpose of this thing? Is it saving us time in the end? Is it actually doing what we want it to do? Is it just offshoring jobs to people who are being paid a lot less to work behind the scene in these ghost jobs to actually run what it's doing? And also the fact that, back to the point of this column, and the reason I wrote it is it takes up a ton of energy to run these data centers that power these tools like ChatGPT and Copilot and all these other things. So Microsoft, for instance, wants to build this huge data center, is planning to build this huge data center in Wisconsin. And in order to power that data center, We Energies was like, well, shoot, we need more power. We need bigger plants. So as they're getting ready to shutter some of these coal power plants, they want to build these natural gas plants, which, yes, technically pollute a little bit less than coal plants do, but they aren't in line with the renewable energy goals that we've set that are so crucial to save ourselves from the actual threat of climate change.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Emily Mills, who is an independent journalist and writing for the Recombobulation Area. This very intriguing story on how AI is harming Wisconsin's path to renewable energy. So specifically in your reporting, what did you find? Is it that the power used to create these data centers, or is it something independent where AI is going to suss out weather forecasting or something like that?
I wish. It's a data aggregator, and it requires existing information from human beings to do its job, and oftentimes it's stealing that information without abiding by copyright or intellectual property laws. Mm. But you still need human beings to actually, you know, gather and interpret this data and to use it in a way that's effective and important. And, you know, if you can't just rely on AI to do it all, it makes so many mistakes. It makes things up. And we're seeing the impacts now. I know the National Weather Service, you know, faced a bunch of cuts under DOGE. And there was a forecaster in Florida the other day who said, look, I'm not going to be able to tell you much about the hurricane season because these massive cuts to the jobs and the funding for these essential roles. AI can't replace that.
Right.
I mean, they're trying to sell it that it can. And so, of course, you know, these corporate leaders who want to save a ton of money and lay off a bunch of people and just like have some computers doing it are like, great, let's do that. But in the end, it doesn't actually work. Yeah. We have a lot of proof that it doesn't work. And a lot of people pay the price for that in the end. So we need good forecasting, among many other things.
Years, I've had a lot of people know I have a mutt resume, as I call it. About 8-9 years ago, I was between jobs. I drove Uber for about a year. I think everybody should do that. I think it's very, very interesting. But I picked up a guy on the far west side of Madison in a beautiful, beautiful palatial home, a hideaway. Like, he was coming downtown, and we just got talking, and he was very talkative. It was fine. The long and the short of it is, he made all this money because he worked at, it was 8 years ago, in AI technology and computer and forecasting, and he was getting paid from major insurance companies because what they wanted to know is, where with climate change, which they acknowledged, where are the storms going to go so that we don't sign people up for insurance?
Yeah. I mean, if you live in the Gulf Coast and in parts of Florida, it's already getting almost impossible to get flood insurance, hurricane insurance, things like that. Places that have been really struck by wildfires out west, it's like impossible to get fire insurance because, yeah, it's too expensive for them in their business model to insure you.
It really is. So back to your story here. You bring up some of the PSC, let's define that, Public Service Commission, and what their role in this.
So, yeah, the Public Service Commission, Wisconsin entity that had to recently voted to approve these two new power plants that We Energies wants to put in. And it's their job to sort of review these applications and see if they're in line with whatever state policy is, and also to take public input. And for both of the power plants, one in Kenosha County, one in Milwaukee County, there was 94 and 95% opposition to those plants registered with the PSC. And that's between, you know, residents in the community. It's organizations that have banded together to kind of create a coalition to oppose it. It's also some businesses. It's a wide variety of people who registered opposition. Despite that overwhelming opposition, the PSC still approved those two plants to go in.
Now, help me out here, because I used to work at the Capitol, but I've lost track. Is the PSC still dominated or controlled by Walker appointees, or has time elapsed enough where there's an equal number, or is it Evers employees, do you know? Not employees, appointees.
Probably. I'm going to have to say I don't know. I'm not actually sure. I'd have to get up to date on that myself, but that is always a consideration.
I'm always intrigued by this, and I think a lot of people from the outside think, it always comes down to Republican versus Democrats.
Right. I don't think that's the case here. I don't think it is. I think this issue in particular is complex, and I want to give a little bit of grace to people who are dealing with something that is really tricky. We do need power. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the political leanings or makeup of the current PSC is. I'd have to look into that. I haven't seen a lot of explanation for the decision yet. I'm just sort of reacting to this initial, hey, why do we do this? But I think it's an interesting question. And I also think the broader question of, this is a really complex issue. It's not a Democrats versus Republican thing. It is like, we do need energy to power our homes and our businesses. But the thing is, in my many lives that I live, I get to see that the solutions exist. We do have the technology to do renewables and to really scale them up and to do it in a thoughtful way that takes into consideration, you know, viable farmland and conservation and everything else. But still have enough to power what we need. What I'm seeing is that we don't need gigantic data centers to power AI that is doing us net harm, in my opinion.
I'm fascinated by your reporting on this, the fact there was so much local opposition, and yet the Public Service Commission, which is supposed to serve the people of Wisconsin, still passes it unanimously. I mean, I saw this stuff. I was in the Capitol yet when Scott Walker was governor, and you know, my former party was big on local control all the time. Local control. I don't recall a bigger ignoring of local control than under the Walker administration when it came to things like high capacity wells or rewriting mining legislation in northern Wisconsin,
right.
Fracking. And now here we seem to be seeing this again when it comes to energy in Wisconsin. So, all right, we'll come on back, talk a little bit more with Emily Mills, independent journalist. A great story here for the recombobulation area on AI and the Wisconsin environment. Stay tuned.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along, Zombers. Very dramatic on the bumper music.
Well, yeah. I know we said that AI is not like Terminator 2 or HAL 9000, but I couldn't resist.
I caught the reference. I like that. I like it.
He's always listening. He's always on top of it.
Yeah, that was nice.
Appreciate that, Zombers. Along here beside me at the world headquarters at the desk is Emily Mills and is with Recombobulation Area. They are a independent journalist here, and you're writing now. You've written for other places, like you say, Journal Sentinel, other places along the way. But now here, feel a bit more freedom working for the recombobulation area versus other places you've worked or not?
Actually, I have been really fortunate in my career to have very rarely run into issues of kind of censorship being reined in. Even when I was at the Journal Sentinel, the editor there was like, write about whatever you want to write about.
That's great.
I don't think it was ever reined in. Yeah. I mean, I do try to be thoughtful, at least. I'm not just popping off about random things. But no, it is really nice to have the platform regardless, though, because I can't help myself. I have opinions about things, but I also really like to do a lot of research to make sure I'm not talking out of my rear. Yeah. So I really appreciate the platform.
I ask it because, again, in our discussions on this show and other shows at Civic Media, I think oftentimes there's this perception out there that, oh my gosh, you know, everybody is being told what to do by editors or publishers or whatever. I do think that in Wisconsin, at least, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, you're much more of a journalist than I am, but I think in Wisconsin there's less of that when it comes to places like our state newspapers, That sort of thing. Am I wrong?
I think it's probably more nuanced. So yeah. If I have never actually been just a regular beat reporter, news reporter, and right. I think there are a lot of more, there's that constant debate about, do you present both sides of everything?
Yeah.
Well, what if one of the sides is actually just
a lie,
yeah. Or harmful? But yeah, I think I have never actually held a job as a journalist that was that kind. And I know people who, a lot of wonderful reporters who've worked in those fields and currently work in those fields for public radio, for some of the newspapers. And there is a lot more that you have to be considering as you do it. And there is a little bit more, I wouldn't say censorship, but a lot pickier editing and what will get picked up and what won't. That's also just because they're woefully underfunded and understaffed these days. Yeah. You've got one person trying to do a million things at any given newspaper now. So that's most, never know what the editor is going to want you to do or not.
Didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
But No, it's all right.
I like when we have journalists here just to ask, because I think it's good for our audience to hear from people who actually worked in the field
and
interact.
So it is an important conversation.
It really is. Emily wrote this fantastic piece in the Recombobulation area entitled How AI is Harming Wisconsin's Path to Renewable Energies. Have a question here for you, Emily, if I get back to it here. Says Lori, listening all the way up in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin.
Oh, I love Hayward.
Yeah, absolutely. At WBZH, Buzz of the North. Says, Todd, can you ask Emily if they have heard anything about the state in the South that has a lot of issues with huge green...
In their state is what it was supposed to say because of AI centers built there from Worry and Hayward.
Well, this ties in because we were talking over the break, whether it's quote-unquote mining Bitcoin, where they put up these great big huge... What do you call them? Energy generators? I don't know.
It's the big data servers. Yeah. Yeah, the data mining centers,
so
which
compare
also
that-
require... A lot of energy.
Compare that to what's happening potentially with what the PSC just passed here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and sort of to the point too that there's other states that are dealing with the same issues. So as far when I was researching this, the numbers right now, it's a little tricky because these large corporations that are building data centers to support AI tools.